fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel, and for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's Tuesday, December 31st, the last day of 2019, and what a year. I've been so happy to sit in the big chair in place of Sonny and speak with you so many times this year. It's been a great pleasure. Just think of all the things we saw this year. Tiger Woods winning the Masters, his first major in so many years. The Women's World Cup, the Africa Cup of Nations. The Washington Nationals, who play baseball just a couple kilometers from VOA's headquarters, winning the World Series in baseball in late October. It was a year of unexpected winners for sure, with the St. Louis Blues winning in the NHL Hockey Stanley Cup Final, and the Toronto Raptors breaking through the Golden State Warriors' hold on the NBA crown. We saw so many outstanding athletes this year, and it makes me excited for 2020, which just happens to be an Olympic year. About 205 days remain until the opening ceremony in Tokyo. Speaking of the Olympics, we mentioned the Associated Press Male Athlete of the Year yesterday. That was Kawhi Leonard, who's now a member of the Los Angeles Clippers, but just about 6 months ago, he carried the Raptors to the NBA title. Now let's find out who won the Female Athlete of the Year honors, and it's someone we expect to see a lot of next summer.
Gymnast Simone Biles has been selected 2019 Associated Press Female Athlete of the Year. In the gymnastics world, the 4'8" Biles is considered the GOAT, the greatest of all time. She owns 25 world championship medals, the most for any gymnast.
To think what I've done, it's been an amazing experience, and I don't think I could be more proud of myself.
After winning 4 gold medals at the Rio Olympics, Simone Biles took some time off and returned stronger than ever. She also spoke out for change in the wake of the Larry Nassar sexual abuse scandal that has shaken USA Gymnastics to its core.
We've done everything that they asked us for, even when we didn't want to, and they couldn't do one damn job. You had one job. You literally had one job, and you couldn't protect us.
Simone Biles is now looking ahead to Tokyo in the 2020 Games. She edged out women's soccer star Megan Rapinoe in a vote by AP member sports editors and AP beat writers. I'm Ed Donahue.
Thanks, Ed. We'll see just what else Simone can do in 2020. And later in the show, we'll hear more about Megan Rapinoe. Moving on, it's the end of the decade after all. So here's the news of the Associated Press Female Athlete of the Decade. And it's a woman who transcended her sport to become one of the most popular sports figures in the world.
Serena Williams, who has made the final at 19 of the 33 majors she entered during the last 10 years, is the AP's choice for Female Athlete of the Decade. With the best in the game serve and powerful ground strokes, Williams has won 23 Grand Slam singles titles, more than anyone else in her sport's professional era that began in 1968. But she's still chasing the overall Grand Slam mark of 24, held by Margaret Court.
I'm not necessarily chasing a record. I'm just trying to win Grand Slams. And it's definitely frustrating.
That's after a loss in the final of this year's U.S. Open. Gymnast Simone Biles finished second in the balloting, followed by swimmer Katie Ledecky and ski racer Lindsey Vonn. I'm Shelley Adler.
Thanks, Shelley. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now to the Male Athlete of the Decade. It seems fitting to me that this athlete won the award in spite of stiff competition from international figures like Usain Bolt and Lionel Messi. But perhaps I'm biased as a native of Cleveland, Ohio, because he brought my home city its first major championship in so many years.
LeBron James is the AP's Male Athlete of the Decade. Some were burning his jersey in Cleveland when he left for Miami, but after winning two NBA titles, he went back to Ohio, won another, then left for the Lakers. James also did great things off the court, like open the I Promise School in Akron.
For young kids, ages 7, 8, 9, 10, the most important thing that we can give them is structure and a sense of they just want someone to feel like we care.
James was a runaway winner in the AP balloting with New England quarterback Tom Brady finishing second. I'm Shelley Adler.
Thank you, Shelley. Our next guest is here to help bring some context to the 2019 sports year.
We're joined now on the Sunny Side of Sports for this New Year's Eve Day chat with Washington Post sports reporter Cindy Boren. Welcome to the show, Cindy.
Oh, my pleasure. Great to be with you.
So, Cindy, we're looking back on 364 days of 2019 as we are counting down the last hours of the year. Wanted to think about some of the most interesting stories of the past 12 months with you. And one character that our audience is quite familiar with based on the way he emerged in his 20s in the late 1990s is Tiger Woods. And many people thought that Tiger's best years were behind him. Certainly, he's not the dominant player that he was in the first part of the 2000s, but now we're almost 20 years later, and he won the Masters back in the spring. What do you think about Tiger Woods' 2019? And he and I are the same age. We both are 44, heading into our mid-40s, or sort of established in our mid-40s. Are we going to see more from Tiger Woods over the next few years based on how he played in 2019, Cindy?
Well, I'm afraid you hit the nail on the head when you said that his best years are behind him. I do think they are. However, that doesn't mean there can't still be some great, great moments. You had the Masters victory in 2019. You had the incredible win in the President's Cup where he showed up in Australia, and it was a valuable member of the team. And he really seemed to be enjoying himself. I think what's great about the way he's winning now is there's a real humanity to it that maybe wasn't there before. I think, we can all identify with the guy with someone who's had his lumps, his ups and downs, and certainly some pretty low points. And, he seems content. There's a level of contentedness to him now that wasn't there before. And, I think it's possible he wins another major along the way here. He's got a fairly, I would say, his calendar is fairly busy for the year of 2020. I'm not convinced that he can fulfill it just because, we see him get injured and, I'm sorry, 44 years old. I think it's fun to see, and it's certainly good for golf. And, this is an Olympic year. He'll presumably be part of the U.S. Olympic team. And that should be good. That should be fun to watch, certainly make golf compelling to watch during the Olympics in Tokyo next summer.
We're joined by Cindy Boren from the Washington Post. Cindy has been following all the trending and viral stories for the Post over the last few years in her role. And we're looking back at some of the big stories from 2019. We certainly spent a lot of time here on the Sunny Side of Sports covering the Women's World Cup back in the summer of 2019. And, certainly the United States team was the favorite. They had a strong performance. Obviously, everybody knows that they won the championship, but they were challenged along the way with tough matches against Spain and France before eventually defeating the Netherlands to win the World Cup. The key figure for the United States team was Megan Rapinoe. She seemed to take all the penalty kicks and free kicks and certainly had her flair with her lavender/pinkish colored hair and her poses at the corner after each goal. She really turned out to be an iconic figure of 2019, and she was voted Sports Illustrated or named Sports Illustrated's Sports Person of the Year. What do you think her lasting impact will be based on 2019? What have we learned about how sports figures can impact the world outside of their sports based on her 2019?
Well, I think that we're entering an era when, shut up and play sports just isn't going to cut it anymore. Shut up and dribble or shut up and kick the soccer ball. It's just not going to cut it. She took on President Trump. She was adamant about not wanting to go to the White House. The U.S. women's team still has not gone to the White House. They're not going to go to the White House until it's occupied by someone else. I think she's done that, and her popularity has still has increased despite taking such a political stance. I think she's someone that, kids look up to. And I think that, whether they agree with her or not, I think she's become a role model for kids. I'm not sure how parents feel about that, but judging by the lines wherever she turns out for, to sign autographs or meet kids, the lines are just out the door. So, for women's soccer and for young girls, it's been a really positive thing. She's not exactly President Trump's Sports Person of the Year, but she's one of, I think there were only four women who were individually named Sports Person of the Year. That's pretty heady company there that she's gotten, and it's about time.
So Cindy, we're talking about some of the big sports moments of 2019. We just mentioned Megan Rapinoe, and on the show today, we've talked about the Associated Press naming a couple of athletes as their male and female athletes of the decade. The Associated mm-hmm. Press named LeBron James the athlete of the decade, sort of based on his ability of maybe taking control of his career and leaving mm-hmm. Cleveland and going to Miami, coming back to Cleveland. Now he's playing for the Lakers in Los Angeles, and the Lakers look like they're certainly through one-third of the season, an NBA title contender. The other athlete of the decade was Serena Williams. Uh-huh. Serena has kind of transcended her sport as well as just kind of this dynamic figure in the world, using her platform for fashion and, marrying an internet entrepreneur and talking about some of the difficulties of being a professional athlete while also being a mother and working her way back from the time she took off during her pregnancy. Where do you see this decade fitting in as far as the evolution of women athletes go? We were just looking at the Sports People of the Year. I think that the women's national soccer team in 99 was named that, got that honor as a group 20 years ago. Now we have an individual right. Getting that honor. We're looking at some of the accomplishments of like a local athlete like Katie Ledecky, who's from just outside of Washington, D.C. How does this set up female athletes for the next decade?
I think that they're going to be increasingly vocal. I think that, you mentioned LeBron James. LeBron James also started a school, and he's pointed to that as one of the legacies that he will leave behind. And I think, Serena looks at empowerment, taking control of her career as her legacy. And I don't think there will be a regression from that. The problem, say, for instance, for Megan Rapinoe and women's soccer players is, women's soccer as a professional sport isn't that popular. It's enormously popular in World Cup and successful in America, but just not in terms of as a professional sport. It's kind of the opposite of men, The men at least have a basis, with MLS, and the women's sport hasn't taken off. And I think that, you know, look at the women's soccer team. They're fighting for equal pay. You know, that was a big issue with women's tennis, too. And you had a lot of male tennis figures like Andy Murray coming out and saying that, you know, the women should have comparable prize money. And, you know, the women are going to court to get equal money, you know, from the U.S. Soccer Federation because they don't. A few years back, they were playing in World Cup, and some of the fields that they were playing on were in terrible condition, and you'd never see that happen with the men's national team. And, you know, women have spoken up about it, and they're exerting their power. And, you know, it's more than just that, though. It's, you know, saying this isn't right and trying to right some wrongs. I don't see that changing anytime soon. I think, you know, once you find that voice and find that empowerment, I think you're reluctant to give it up. And why would you?
As you've heard on our show a number of times, the biggest sports story of the year here in Washington was the local Major League Baseball team winning the World Series. I've been living in the D.C. area for about 10 years, and Cindy's been here a little bit longer than I have. What was it like for you as somebody who's been living in Washington for a long time to see the city and the fans experience this deep playoff run in the baseball playoffs just a couple of months ago?
It was great fun. I've been here 19 years, and of course I don't really root for teams, but, you know, you've seen just so many kind of sad things happen to the Nationals in the playoffs. There have been a couple of real heartbreaking exits. And now, finally, this last year, everything fell together. It fell together right. You know, Steven Strasburg, who ended up being the MVP of the World Series, was someone that they had shut down before the playoffs. He'd had Tommy John surgery, ligament replacement surgery in his elbow years ago and shut him down. And there were all sorts of lingering bad feelings about that. And I think finally, you know, Strasburg has realized he wants to be here. He likes it here. And he kind of feels that the Nationals looked out for him and had his long-range interests at heart. And, you know, he just pitched his heart out and you know, could become a free agent after the season and decided to sign and stay here. And, you know, you walk around Washington and you see so many fans wearing Capitals gear, you know, the hockey team gear. And that's cool. That's wonderful. But this is baseball. And it's, you know, it's just different. And, you know, you don't really see that many fans in Redskins gear anymore because the losing for almost 20 years is taking its toll. But, you know, it was just cool to see it. And it was cool to see the celebration on the mall because there was a big parade, as there was after the Capitals won the Stanley Cup. I think this was a little less beery than the Capitals parade. Fans were a little less intoxicated, perhaps. But you know, it was just pure fun and just purely cool to see.
It was really a feel-good story here in Washington to cap off 2019, and the parade was just on the other side of the mall from Voice of America's studios here in Washington, so it's kind of a fun idea of proximity to see one of these big celebrations that tends to happen in other cities happen right here. So,
yeah,
Cindy, thanks so much for joining me today here on December 31st, the last day of 2019. I really appreciate you spending some time with us here on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Thanks. It was great to be with you.
My VOA colleague, Gwen Uten, is here with this report on one of the most interesting stories of 2019, the sports world's debate on how and if South African runner Caster Semenya can continue to compete without taking testosterone-suppressing drugs. Welcome, Gwen.
The Court of Arbitration for Sport, or CAS, called the landmark case one of the most important ever to appear before the court. In a 2-1 ruling, the panel of judges sided with the then IAAF to maintain its restrictions on athletes with differences of sex development, or DSD. The decision meant Semenya and athletes with DSD who hope to compete in events ranging from the 400 meters to the mile must take medications to suppress testosterone levels. And while the court found the restrictions to be discriminatory, the panel majority deemed the rules necessary as a, quote, means of achieving the IAAF's aim of preserving the integrity of female athletics. However, the court did express concern about how the regulations would be implemented. CAS Secretary General Matthew Reeb outlined those concerns following the verdict.
I can mention three aspects. One, the difficulties of implementation of a maximum permitted level of testosterone in view of the strict liability aspect of the DSD regulations. The panel expressed its concern as to the possibility for an athlete to maintain a sufficiently low level of testosterone and, more specifically, the resulting consequences of unintentional non-compliance. Second, the difficulty to rely on concrete evidence of actual significant athletic advantage by a sufficient number of concerned athletes in the 1500-meter and one-mile events. The CAS panel suggested that the IAAF consider deferring the application of the DSD regulations to these events until more evidence is available. And three, the side effects of hormonal treatment experienced by individual athletes, that is, the use of oral contraceptives, could, with further evidence, demonstrate the practical impossibility of compliance, which could in turn lead to a different conclusion as to the proportionality of the DSD regulations.
Semenya's case cast a spotlight on the issue of women's and human rights and raised the question of fairness in allowing her to compete with a biological advantage. Overall opinion was split, but Semenya said she poses no threat to women's sport, and she received widespread backing from former and current athletes, like South African sprinter and Olympic gold medalist Wade van Niekerk, who spoke of his support ahead of the ruling.
For women in all, she's fighting for something beyond just track and field. She's fighting for women in sports, in society, and I respect her for that. I mean, I support her, and I mean, with the hard work and talents that she's been putting in the sport and what she believes in and what she's dreaming for, I've got a lot of respect for her, and I really hope and pray that everything just goes from strength to strength for her.
Semenya issued a statement of her own that said, "For a decade, the IAAF has tried to slow me down, but this has actually made me stronger. The decision of the CAS will not hold me back. I will once again rise above and continue to inspire young women and athletes in South Africa and around the world." Semenya and her lawyers issued an appeal against the Court of Arbitration, and in June, the Swiss Supreme Court upheld its ruling in favor of Semenya and ordered the IAAF to suspend testosterone regulations and allow her to compete without medication. However, the Swiss court reversed their position the following month, and Semenya was not allowed to defend her title in Doha at the 2019 World Championships. In September, Semenya announced she had signed with the JVW Football Club, a national women's soccer club based in South Africa. In a statement following her announcement, Semenya said, "I am looking forward to this new journey, and hopefully I can contribute as much as I can to the club." I will mention here that also in 2019, the IAAF officially changed its name to World Athletics in an effort to make the sport more widely accessible for generations to come. But it is Caster Semenya's case and the highly controversial court ruling that will be remembered as one of the most notable sports stories of 2019.
Thank you for that report, Gwen. It's been great working with you in 2019, and let me be the first to wish you a great start to 2020. I also want to wish Sonny Young a great start to 2020. He'll be back here in the big chair tomorrow, January 1st.
And that wraps up the December 31st edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. It's been a great 2019, and here's to an even better 2020. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Workinger and VOA engineer Joe Gill. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young, and that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
Hi, my name is Larry London. Tune in on January 3rd at 1500 Universal for an interesting program on border crossings featuring the songs with time in the title. It's the new year, 2020 is here, and we'll be playing songs from Michael Jackson, Ariana Grande, Justin Bieber, all the hits with the word time in the title. See you at 1500 Universal on January 3rd, right here on Border Crossings.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa. The Voice of America's Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you. Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa. The Voice of America's Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you. Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
Researchers led by Binghamton University in Upper New York State is reporting that they have discovered the remains of the oldest forest in Earth's history. The scientists say their discovery provides evidence that the transition from ancient to modern forests began earlier than thought. What the research team found while going through ancient soil near Cairo, New York, were the remnants of an extensive root system of 385 million-year-old trees. This discovery is said to predate the fossil forest at nearby Gilboa, New York, which formerly held the title of world's oldest forest. The researchers say they found three different tree species within the ancient widespread root system. While seed-bearing plants didn't emerge until some 10 million years later, the trees forming the ancient root system had qualities similar to modern seed plants. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.